Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, you can always have it shipped right to your door at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Had some leftover from yesterday for lunch today. And,
it's probably wonderful.
I think, as the kids say, it still hits. Is that what they say?
Oh, man.
Is that what they say?
You need to have one? How many times have I cringed when you've said some?
That's twice.
So, yeah.
That's good. That's what we're going for. I am a dad.
Chat, are we cooked?
Yeah, I am a dad.
I understand.
The beef was cooked.
It was
cooked to a
perfection.
To a perfect medium rare.
Yeah.
I'm a dad, so making younger people cringe is part of the gig.
Yeah, I guess so.
Also part of the gig is eating good. And this weekend, if you're cooking out, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Father's Day is coming up. Mother's Day is coming up. You got to be ready for these things. Don't get caught, you know, by surprise. Don't wake up on Sunday morning and go, oh, God, I got to run to the store and buy some cheap flowers and, you know, some microwave pancakes so I can make breakfast in bed. Don't be that person. Get ahead of the game with a trip to College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but now they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. We'll talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Bankers that treat you with respect. Bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. One of the great things about my kids growing up is that Mother's Day is no longer really my responsibility anymore. I can just tell, that's your mother. I take care of my, I'll get my mom
something. Okay.
But that's your, you know, for years when they're little, I got to handle all that, right? Now it's like, no, you do something.
Okay, that's a little bit of a hot take, I feel like.
It's a hot takey at all. That's not my mother.
That's true. Yeah,
I did what I had to do for like the first 15, 16 years of their life.
Now you've passed it off.
It's like, hey, that's your mom. Go get her something. You know what she likes. You know who she is. Go take her out to dinner. I'll pay, but you got to pick the place and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, it's just a thought. All right. A lot of baseball to talk about. We've got Coach O'Connor a little later in the show. Also later in the show, back on the spring football previews with everybody's favorite, the Ole Miss Rebels. Michael Katz will join us from the Daily Journal in Tupelo. But I wanted to start with the NFL draft because we did not cover that yesterday. You and I were talking about everything that happened yesterday. We were just, our minds were not locked in on what we should be doing. So we left the NFL draft off, but a historic weekend for Mississippi State. 1996, Carlo Barone. I would have been 20. And you, of course, were your parents married in 1996?
I don't even know if they'd met at that point.
That's a long time ago. That is the last time Mississippi State had a wide receiver drafted in the NFL draft. Not a first-round pick, just any old player. And you think about Mississippi State, they've had some good receivers in that time. And guys who've played in the NFL, Justin Jenkins played in the NFL. Lance Long played in the NFL. Fred Ross has got a little bit of a run in the NFL. And then you've got some guys who've been good receivers that just haven't, you know, been drafted, haven't played in the NFL. Good college receivers. That streak finally came to an end on Saturday maybe a little later than some would have hoped. But for Mississippi State, Brennan Thompson has broken that streak. He has been selected in the fourth round by the San Diego Chargers. Gets to go to a team that, man, that is a not a fan.
LA Chargers.
Oh, did I say San Diego?
You did.
Old habits die hard.
Old habits die hard.
I mean, I would probably still say Oakland Raiders if I wasn't thinking about it. And I know I've said Redskins in the last like year or so. So, yes, the LA Chargers. That's a young, up-and-coming team. They have an outstanding elite. He's on the borderline of elite, right? So you're just waiting for a little more playoff success from Justin
Talking about
Herbert.
Justin Herbert,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. He, the talent is obviously there. Jim Harbaugh, that's a winning coach. This is a great situation, I think, for Brennan Thompson to go in. And because of his skill set, the fact that he has elite speed, it gives him a, no pun intended, fast track to be on the field.
That was intended.
I said no pun intended.
That was
It's
intended.
not intended in any way to get on the field early. It's, it maybe contribute a little bit in special teams, but I mean, with the way the NFL is now, with the vertical passing game, Thompson just feels like he can come in and be an immediate contributor. I always say this about when we talk about fantasy football, especially. Like, I would never want to draft a rookie quarterback. Rookie running backs can be hit or miss, but rookie wide receivers, a lot of times, they're just ready to play because it's just whatever reason, it's an easier transition. I think Thompson can be an impact guy in year one.
I don't know if you saw the video too of Mike McDaniel, who's now the obviously the Dolphins coach that's now the Chargers OC.
Yes.
The video of him selecting Thompson, he like really, really wanted him for a guy that's also very good at scheming up to his players' strengths. I mean, it was kind of hard in Miami because a lot of things, but
They didn't have A-Chain.
they let him. They had, I mean, Tyreek. They had Waddle. It's just
But
two of them
when the
was in and
quarterback isn't
out.
right, there's nothing you can
It's
do.
tough. Yeah.
A quarterback is right in LA.
Yeah, quarterback. Yeah, and he can throw a cannon too.
Yeah.
So just tell Brennan Thompson, run as fast as you can down the right sideline. I'll nuke this thing 70 yards, and there's 6 points. But McDaniel is very good at scheming up to his player's strength. So him wanting Thompson, him wanting that speed and what he brings, I think is a great fit for him as
I mean,
well.
you mentioned Tyreek Hill. I think that feels like the kind of comp you might want to
Yeah,
make
that's a good
in
point.
terms of speed. And McDaniel, as you mentioned, McDaniel as a head coach, no, not so much.
No.
And just not, I hate to be like cliche, but not a leader of men
Not
is
a,
what would I
I know
say?
the
Yeah, he
reports coming out of it too.
the quirky offensive coordinator role suits Mike McDaniel very, very well.
Yes.
But Thompson seems like the kind of player he can be like, all right, I can install this and I can install that and I can do this to get him into space and I can do this to get him out wide. So yeah, I think it's absolutely a great fit for Brennan Thompson, and for Mississippi State. You know, Mississippi State over the past couple decades has seen a lot of elite wide receiver talent in this state not pick Mississippi State.
Yeah.
You know, you go back. Dante Moncrief is kind of an outlier because he's from Raleigh, which is, if you know anything about recruiting, that's an Ole Miss stronghold. It's tough for state to recruit there, where Sumter and Perkins are from.
Yeah,
You
I
know,
was gonna
you're
say.
not going to get kids out of Raleigh. But then, you know, you have A.J. Brown here in
In your
Starkville. You
backyard.
can't get him. You know,
No.
DK Metcalf was never going anywhere but Ole Miss, but
Yeah.
it's kind of the same thing. Then you look down, you know, a few years later, you got Caleb Cunningham right there in your backyard in Ackerman, and you can't seal the
Yeah.
deal with him. I'm hopeful that this is the start of something. You know, Jeff Lebby, next year, Anthony Evans should be a draft choice. I mean, he's going to put up another huge number, another huge statistical year
Two
this
productive seasons in the SEC will
you
definitely
would think
show
he would
too.
be, you know, and he can play at the, I think he can play at the next level. And then, you know, you just have to kind of see from there. But what we know about Jeff Lebby's offense is that they are going to have receivers every year that catch 50, 60, 70 passes. And so I'm hopeful that with the offense the state has currently, and Thompson kind of breaking through on this one, that Mississippi State can start to become more of a choice. I mean, look at last year's recruiting class. You had some elite receivers in that class, and not a one of them considered Mississippi State. Tristan Keyes, no. The guy who went to Ole Miss, Jace Matthews,
Yeah.
no. I mean, you couldn't get any of these guys. Salt Lake, you couldn't even get them on campus.
But you look at the development too. Cunningham didn't touch really the field last year at Ole Miss. He's a five star. But then you've got bringing a guy like Brennan Thompson, who, what, a couple seasons at Oklahoma really didn't
Then done much of anything.
do much at all. And same thing with Anthony Evans at Georgia.
Yeah.
So they come into Levy's system, and now suddenly they both have paths to the NFL. Thompson already got picked. Like we said, Evans might be a pick next year. I mean, the development is very much there, and it's not a shot at Ole Miss either. I think they can develop receivers because they had a loaded receiver room last year, but a five star didn't touch the field. I feel like there would be a way at Mississippi State that he would have. And
Caleb Cunningham would have
I
likely
remember
played a lot here
when
last year.
Kiffin left, that a lot of people were speculating that he might flip back. He didn't, but I think
A transfer back.
transfer back. I think the development of wide receivers under Jeff Lebby, I mean, you saw it last year, especially if there's another good year with guys behind Evans, like, San Francisco McGee. You get him. I mean, he's been on the team for a few years. If he can consistently develop these guys, Mississippi State absolutely will become a more attractive landing spot for a state that I feel like has been dominated, at least in recruiting for wide receivers in Ole Miss.
Yeah, no doubt. And I have a bet with Michael Borky that an over under on Caleb Cunningham. Because what does Ole Miss do? They go out in the portal and they sign two or three more receivers. And I'm just like, Borky, he's never going to play.
If he doesn't play this year,
He needs to
he
transfer.
will
So
leave.
our over under is 15 and a half catches.
For Cunningham,
Yeah, I'm saying
I'm gonna
under.
go more.
Well, I just don't. I look at their depth chart. I'm like, they just keep bringing in
Yeah, they
guys.
brought
But
in a bunch of veteran guys. You're right.
so we'll see how that pans out. Also, maybe a little bit of a surprise in where he went, but there had been a lot of buzz that Sadu Traore was going to hear his name called. Now, what we've learned since then is that as a member of this international player pathway that the NFL does, it's a program the NFL does to have athletes from outside the United States find their way into the NFL. As you know, Traore is from London, England, from South London, Crystal Palace guy. And as a result of this, he does not count against the 53-man roster for the Miami Dolphins. So they can have him on the roster, they can develop him and see what happens. That makes him insanely valuable. You
Oh,
said it
yeah.
before the show started, like a fifth round pick is likely to make the roster anyway. But the fact that he doesn't count a roster spot, I mean,
He's gonna
he'll
have,
be there on opening day.
he'll have as good a shot as anybody, if not way easier, because it doesn't count in the grand scheme. I mean, you have your 53, but then you can just kind of pencil his name into the tight end room.
Right.
It's huge. And he's got the skills too, where he could definitely make an impact in the passing game.
I felt like he had some good moments at Mississippi State, but it was more of like I could see the potential because he's such a good athlete. And I think at the NFL they'll find ways to utilize him. He not a great blocker. And I'm sure
No.
that's on the film. They know that going in. He's not a guy that you can just put out there on third and two and say, hey, handle this defensive end for me while we're trying to get the first down. You don't want that. But he is a guy who can be a mismatch player for the Dolphins. He can get out into space. He's got good speed.
And I feel like this point in the NFL too, there's a distinct big gap between you have blocking tight ends and then you've got pass catching tight ends. In the old days, I feel like you kind of really had to do both. Like Gronkowski was good at both. But now there's guys that are just piss poor in
You
the
said a swear. Can't say that.
bad.
We're a family program here, Carlo.
Well, they're bad in the blocking,
Yes.
and
No,
then
you're
they're
fine.
great pass catchers.
Yeah, you could say piss poor. It's all right.
I was like, what did
Just wanted to
I
mess
get
with you.
knocked there?
Just wanted to mess with you. And so good weekend for Mississippi State, getting those two guys drafted. The only undrafted free agent pickups I've seen, and I think there's a thread here on three. Let me see if I can find it. I saw where Nick Mitchell got a deal.
There's been a couple guys that have been invited to camps.
Now, Carolina has signed Albert Reese. And I agree with this poster says a seventh round pick on Reese would not have been the worst selection for a team, but he ends up with the Panthers. Devon Booth has signed with the Cleveland Browns. Very good. Of course, that's a running back room that's got a lot of talent. I mean, Quinshon Judkins is up
I mean,
there.
that's a offense with a lot
Lot
going on there.
going on, no question. Jerron Manning to the Atlanta Falcons. So I hate to cheer against Jerron, but it'll be what it is. Nevaeh Sanders, I'm sorry, headed to Seattle. Good for him. Nick Mitchell with the Titans. Nick Mitchell was a guy that every year it was like, why is Nick Mitchell still starting? Why is he still starting? This guy, we have to have better than him. I thought his senior year he
He played really
played
well.
really well.
Yes, I agree.
Diego Brumfield to Philadelphia. Sure. You know, and I'm not going to hate on the guy.
Sure.
So I think that's all we've got for right now. So State getting that the this weekend was about one thing for State in the NFL draft. Getting a wide receiver drafted, getting Thompson drafted, having somebody have to say wide receiver, Mississippi State when they called in the pick. Hopefully that is not, hopefully we're not, you know, I don't think I'll be around in 2056. I might be, you never know, but seems unlikely. But if you're still here, I hope that you're not having to say, wow, that's the first receiver since Brennan Thompson.
Brian Haydad was here last time they got
The
him
last time that happened,
picked.
Brian Haydad was alive.
Yeah, he's been gone for a minute. I bet
Oh.
it. Brian, you're gonna be here. Shut up.
In 2056, I'll be 80.
Yeah, I take
If
that.
I'm still podcasting at the
I don't
age of
know if you'll
80,
be podcasting, but you'll still be kicking it.
Carlo, it's a good day to be a bulldog, isn't it?
You
Anyway,
probably still have hair then, too.
you know, that's part of being Arab is we not a lot of bald Arabs. We tend to keep the hair.
You
We
got the facial hair. It's
I got the facial.
healthy
Yeah,
there, and you got the
I
hair.
feel good. I feel good. I've done a lot for my health over the last few years. See, but I'm also very hopeful that it's just next year. It's just Anthony Evans, and we can all just move on with our lives at that point. All right. Before we go to the break, let's talk a little baseball, and let's just go right to this interview. I talked earlier today to Coach Brian O'Connor. You heard this on Sports Talk Mississippi, but if you missed it, here it is again. I talked about this past weekend, and one of the things I wanted to ask him about was how do coaches take in moments like what happened with Jacob Parker? Obviously, you know, the fans are going crazy. The players are going crazy. Up there in the press box, we're not going crazy, but we're all like, holy, you know what?
Yeah.
How does he take that in? So I asked him that. All interviews are here on the podcast are brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. And if anybody needed any recovery after this weekend, and my guess is that you might have, Alora Modern Wellness can certainly help you with that. Modern Wellness Solutions is how they describe what happens at Alora Modern Wellness. What that be? I'll cut away the coach speak here. You're just going to feel better when you walk out the door. All right. Heat, cold, stretching, relaxation, stress relief. They can help you at Alora Modern Wellness. Whatever's bothering you, let them help find a solution for that. You can give them a call today, 662-268-9255, or you can just visit them online at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book all of your services right there online. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Mississippi State head baseball coach Brian O'Connor. We go down to the Farm Bureau guest line. Check out favorites.com and go with the home team. Coach Brian O'Connor back with us today after a Super Bulldog weekend sweep of the LSU Tigers. Coach, in your coaching career, and you're going to have to go back on this one, have you ever been a part of six straight sweeps?
No, I haven't. It's pretty amazing, you know. And Brian, how this one happened this weekend, I don't know that I've ever been a part of that either, where you fall behind 3-0 in all three games and come back and rally back and win all three. So, you know, I mean, college baseball is an amazing thing. This is an amazing league. And you know, it's just it can be certainly a game of momentum. You know, obviously our team thrives on the momentum, and you know, that's worked out very well for us this year.
So you mentioned it right there. You fell behind 3-0 in every game. If you had shown me your starting pitcher statistics of the games, and I didn't know anything else, I would have thought your team was the one that got swept this weekend. How were you able to overcome the starting pitching? And then on the same that same token, did you just feel like this was just a one-off and you got really unlucky that all three guys didn't have their best stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a lot of it. A little bit, you have to give credit to the opponent and their approach against them. You know, those guys have. I mean, Tomas Valančius has pitched just so consistent for us all year, and Duke Stone's done a pretty good job. And Charlie Foster has obviously had his moments in the starting rotation, You know, for all three of those guys to get us behind in the game is pretty tough. But how it happened, your question is, you know, we had great relief pitching. We had guys come in, you know, Jack Bauer in game two to do what he did, Jack Gleason yesterday. So, you know, the starters really didn't let it get ever too far out of hand. And we had guys coming out of the bullpen that did a terrific job in the middle of the game and then at the end of the game. And then, you know, our offense just wouldn't go away. You know, in every game, they didn't pack it in. We continued to fight and battle, and by the middle and late part of the game, we were at our best offensively.
You mentioned Bauer, and I don't know if this is the right word or not. So if you've got a better one, let me have it. But did Jack Bauer arrive this weekend?
Well, I think we started to see signs of that, him turning the corner against Georgia when we brought him in out of the bullpen and the job that he did there, and against Tennessee, and so he showed flashes of it. But to go as long as he did to throw 60 pitches and as dominant as he was, yeah, hopefully, I mean, we'll see, what the next week holds and the next, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks hold, but a big step forward moment for Jack Bauer, and hopefully for our team this year, that he has arrived, and it has to obviously do a lot for his self-confidence and belief that no matter who he's pitching against, he can go out there and do the job for this team.
So you got your first real Duty Noble Field moment this weekend with Jacob Parker's grand slam. I've seen quite a few of them. I'd put that crowd reaction up there with a lot of the top ones. We see the videos that the social media puts out with the players, and we see how the fans react. What's a coach going through in that moment?
Well, in the moment, as it's leading up to it, you're just trying to, manage their emotions and also manage the at bats and what do we need to do to then the different relief pitchers that come out. And then, I just really felt like, Jacob Parker could be somebody that could change this game for us. We all know that he has some power in that bat, and when that moment happens for that young man and for our team, obviously it changed the game for us. But being the coach here at State and being in that dugout with that fan support leading up to that, right? I really believe that our fans are a big part of what changed that game. Now, the players got to do it, right? It's not just the fans, but the emotion that they showed and the excitement building up to that moment was helped allow that moment to happen. And so, I said it after the game, this is why you wear this uniform as a player or as a coach, is because it's the most electrifying fan base in college baseball, and it certainly had huge impacts on this series.
I don't know if you've heard the radio call of the Grand Slam, but our friend Jay Powell at 2-0 says, "I'm absolutely not swinging here."
Oh, he did,
Yeah,
huh?
said I think I'm gonna make him throw a strike. I thought that was funny as I caught that. Can a coach
Well,
enjoy?
that doesn't surprise me. A lot
Yeah.
of people would think that way, and I totally understand that. But when you're down 4 runs, like, you can't think that they're just going to walk you to the game, right? It's going to take a big moment, whether it be a big bases clearing double or a home run by somebody to change that game to get back into it.
Can a coach enjoy the game? Or is there ever a moment where you're having fun out there? The players
Oh,
applaud you.
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Brian. Like, I think that's important. I mean, baseball games are played so much. We have 4 of them every week, right? And so, like, I've always believed as the leader of the program that your emotions and how you carry yourself, your team takes on that identity. And I think that's really important. So actually enjoying it and enjoying the moment and making decisions in the moment is vitally important to giving your team a chance to win the game.
It's time for our weekly update on Ryan McPherson, Coach. How's he doing?
He's doing great, Brian. Thanks for asking. He's progressing really well. This weekend, he threw a very short box off the mound, and that went really well. And so we're just continuing to progress forward. I don't know when that lands him in a game yet, but we're just trying to stack the days, so-called, of his throwing progression. And so still not a timetable to compete in a game yet, but everything is going as planned. And for him to be back in this regular season at some point, and provide everything goes well in the coming days and weeks.
You've got the Governor's Cup on Tuesday. It's a different kind of midweek game because it's a great opponent, obviously an Ole Miss, and the I believe the NCAA tournament committee, they count that as a conference game just the same as they would, if it was played on a weekend. Does that change how you have to approach things? Some of your midweek games, you've been a little quicker on pulling pitchers out. Do you attack this more like a regular game?
Well, you have to as a team. Now, from a pitching standpoint, it puts both teams in a challenging situation. Obviously, we used a lot of guys this weekend. You can't have any starters come back and pitch the game because, oh, by the way, we got a pretty important series at Texas this weekend. But our approach will be to pour everything into it and win the game. The challenge both teams have, Brian, in a game like this is, who all did they use out of the bullpen this weekend, and who's available from a pitching standpoint? So, we're obviously going to need guys to step up on the mound that maybe haven't pitched in a while. That's just is what it is. And so, but our approach will be to pour everything into it to try to win it.
So along those lines, have you settled on a starter for Tuesday?
I have not yet. We're still, we got practice today and still want to do a check on some guys to decide which way we go on that.
You got three opponents left in conference play. If you look at the RPI, they're number three, number five, and number six. So no rest for the weary on this one, Coach. How do you feel about the way your team is playing going into these final 3 weeks of the season?
Well, again, I feel great. I think we've won seven or eight in a row. Obviously, playing with a lot of momentum, and as I look at it, is the last three SEC opponents at Texas, Auburn at home, and at Texas A&M, all with better RPIs than us. It's a great opportunity. That's what it is. It's an opportunity for us to capture what we want to be, try to be able to do it, in the postseason, in a big picture wise, but like. We just got to continue to have the right mentality and, go after the one in front of us. But I look at it as a terrific opportunity.
Bulldogs and Rebels Tuesday in Pearl for the Governor's Cup, and then State on the road this weekend to take on the Texas Longhorns. Coach O'Connor, appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Back on Sports Talk Mississippi, back in just a minute. It's interesting to hear him talk about that, about how, the moments leading up to that are all like analytics, and we're looking at matchups, and we're trying to figure this out and the other. But in the end, he kind of went with his gut. I don't think you were in the press box at that time. You were down
No,
filming.
I was like right. I was actually in the stand Saturday,
Okay.
but I was right behind the dugout.
When LSU makes the change to go to a lefty, I thought it's like, well, they may change Parker here.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm like, I wouldn't, because I know the talent level is so high. But I would have understood, like, he wanted to play righty lefty. Vitas Valencia is who probably would have brought in. He's been hitting the ball pretty well. I wouldn't have had a huge issue with it. So it's kind of, I thought it was kind of funny that O'Connor, who I know is a coach that looks at matchups and he does the analytics, just went with his gut. It's like, I'm going to keep the freshman in there for that big moment. And then, as I mentioned in the interview, and I don't know if you've heard it yet, Jay Powell was on the call with Neil Price, former, obviously, longtime major league pitcher and knows the game of baseball. At 2-0, he says on the air, he's like,
I saw this.
I would not swing here. I would take a strike. And then after the home run, Jay goes, well, thank God he didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
That
So,
call was great.
Neil Price, the best in the business, really, really. Mississippi State has been, blessed through the decades with great college play-by-play announcers. Obviously, Jack Kristol, the living, not the living legend, but the legend in his own time, for no question about that. The guy that I think all Mississippi State fans of my age, especially, are going to immediately say is, if you said, well, who is Mississippi State? He might be the first choice. Jim Ellis, decades for the Diamond Dogs. Gotten one of the joys of this job was getting to know him a little bit over the past few years. And since he has walked away from the booth there, Neil Price has been outstanding, as good as anybody in college sports. And so he and then when you compare that with his two color guys, you either got Ron Polk, the guy who knows more about baseball than literally any human being alive, and then you have Jay Powell, an all-SEC pitcher, longtime major leaguer, won game seven of the World Series. You can't do a lot better than that. So Mississippi State has been very blessed. And then on the TV side, Bart Gregory and Charlie Winfield are outstanding at their jobs as well. I think Mississippi State's broadcast teams are
Yeah,
fantastic folks
they're
and good
great.
people too. So, all right, let's move into a little spring football preview, and that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Haven't been to Two Brothers in a minute. Might need to, I haven't been in the restaurant. Obviously, I've had the food because I have it at the ballpark, but a trip to Two Brothers is always a great, not a good idea, it's a great idea. You can't go wrong. If somebody says, "Hey, we're going to lunch today, let's go to Two Brothers," just get in the car. Don't ask any questions. You're going to eat good for your meal that day. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. That's the place to go grab a meal here in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you are looking for business technology, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new laptops, new computers, whatever it is, call Advantage Business Systems today. They'll get you taken care of, but more importantly, they will take care of you long after the sale. Service after the sale is how businesses thrive, all right? Anybody can sell it to you. Who's there for you when you need them? That's how you know a business is going to survive. 50 years they've been doing this, kind of takes care of itself. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. And guys, I'm going to say it again. Mother's Day is just a couple of weeks away at this point. Father's Day, about a month after that. Don't get caught by surprise. I'm telling you now, your friend Brian, your friend Carlo, we're telling you right now, don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Take care of mom and dad with a trip to Maroon & Co. Everything they've got, Mississippi State. Your dad, mom, they want new MSU stuff. Stuff for the, you know, the clothes, the car, the house, tailgate, whatever it is, they've got it at Maroon & Co. And they've got the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Don't worry about those exclusions. Just go and shop and enjoy yourself and have a great shopping experience the next time you're in Starkville at Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. It's hot today, so that means that grass is just soaking it up, brother. You got to get out there. You got to win the battle against the weeds. A trip to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden will provide you the arsenal that you need to defeat what's making your lawn not look its best. John Deere products, they've got them all. Gators, tractors, commercial mowers, and they've got great deals, 0% financing available. Don't mess around. You need a new mower, you need to talk to my friends at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, where they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi.
I was going to say, okay, quick.
Just like a little Kobe there, what just happened?
I was trying to get your attention. Yeah. WCBI, we do these summer football previews.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to go to
Saltillo. Oh, so when you go to Saltillo, you're going to stop by Scruggs?
Oh, I mean, the way you talk about this place, it seems like a, you know, guy's playground here.
All right, have you seen the old Willy Wonka movie?
Yes, yeah.
All right, the one with Gene Wilder? Okay. Yeah, no, you got it. You're good. Oh, you got it. Okay, good.
Yeah, I'll give myself the
We're
point
giving
there.
Give yourself a point. Good job. Yeah. All right. There's that, you know, when he they open the door to the factory, it's like, come
yes.
with me.
Yes.
And you'll be
everything is just colorful
in a world of pure imagination. That's Scruggs.
I gotta go.
So yes, you do absolutely have to go. All right. If you're a landowner in the state of 2-2-2, you're doing good. You're doing good. 2-2. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Scruggs Farm. No, Good Hope Land. You had me thinking about them. Good Hope Land and Timber. That's the name to know and the name to trust. Mississippi State people, you know, you can trust them. But more importantly, they are here for you, not only if you're trying to buy or sell land, and they could absolutely make those purchases happen for you, but if you're already a landowner and you think, I got to know what to do with my land. I got all this timber. How do I manage it? How do I keep everything sustainable? But at the same time, I want to make some money on this. What do I need to do? Good Hope Land and Timber can handle that for you. They'll take care of it. Just give them a call today. 601-488. I never get it right. 442-9888. I'll tell you, that third phone number is killing me. They'll get you taken care of with a quick phone call. They'll come out, they'll see everything, and they'll let you know how to handle things. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. All right, we're going to go back to the Allura Modern Wellness Hotline here and talk to Michael Katz of the Daily Journal in our spring football preview series. The Ole Miss Rebels is what it is, guys. They're still good. But how good will they be with a new head football coach? That's what I asked Michael. Let's go now to my interview with Michael Katz of the Daily Journal. All right, spring football preview. We're back on track now. We're starting today with the Ole Miss Rebels. Michael Katz joins us from the Daily Journal covering the Rebels. You've been covering up there. How long have you been there?
Since 2021.
Whew.
I know.
You've seen it all.
I outlasted Lane.
Well, that's no surprise. Hey, speaking of him, so my I've been saying this a lot. Like, when you look at what Ole Miss brings back this year, and obviously Chambliss is – at worst, the second-best quarterback in the SEC right now. Lacy is, at worst, the second-best running back in the SEC. They have great talent at receiver. They have some key pieces back on defense. If Kiffin was there, this would be like a preseason top-five team, wouldn't it?
Without question. Yeah. I think that is I think that is the only reason that this team is not being talked about more. Again, when you bring back an all-American backfield, you bring back really good defensive line talent. You've got a secondary that is improved through the portal. We know their story. Dabo Sweeney's very familiar with their linebacker. They got better in that room. This is a really good team on paper. It's just, we have seen Pete Golding coach a few games, and it's
Big
just
games.
big games, of course. And he coached well, and he brought Ole Miss as far as it's ever gone in this era. And it's, I mean, again, 13 wins is a really big deal. But I think that now that it is a full off season with him, I just think there's questions of what does it look like when he is running the show completely. There was so much momentum for this program, even when Lane left last year, that it was like, okay, well, the train is on the track. You just kind of got to get through these few games. You got your coordinators in place still. You don't have that anymore. And so I think that's the biggest question. I think this team is going to be really good, but I understand the narrative is a little bit, there are some question marks.
Where do you think they're going to look the most different on the field?
I think the easy one to say is offense, but I don't think that is going to look that different because you brought in John David Baker, who is, he was at Ole Miss before. He was at East Carolina these last couple of years. Did a really nice job running that same high tempo offense that Lebby has run, that Charlie Weiss ran. I think that's all going to look similar. I think the where it might look different, and we saw it a little bit in the playoff, is some of those high leverage situations. Lane was the gambler, right, on the fourth downs, and live by the sword, die by the sword. Sometimes it worked great, and sometimes you thought to yourself, man, like maybe take the points. They took the points in the playoff, and when you have a kicker like Ole Miss has in Lucas Carnero, who that's one of the nation's best, and he's incredible. And that Sugar Bowl performance was otherworldly. They feel comfortable when you get past midfield taking the points, and not sort of doing the gamble. And we saw that a little bit in the playoff. I'm curious to see what that looks like, when it's, again, it's say it's a game at at Texas, whatever it is, and you're in a situation like that in the first half. Is Pete gonna roll the dice, or is he gonna take the points? I feel like he's gonna take the points because that's what we've seen so far. I think that is gonna be different. I don't know if he's necessarily the analytic gambler that Lane was.
So with Chambliss, yeah, there was a thought that, I knew he was always going to come back to Ole Miss because the NIL offer was going to be more than he would make on any rookie deal. But do you think that, is the iron ever going to be hotter for Trinidad Chambliss? Can he be better this year?
The crazy thing is that this is a guy that didn't even have spring ball last
Yeah.
year. He got there late. We all know the story. The Austin Simmons backup, Austin, was supposed to be the superstar. Obviously, he got hurt, and Trinidad ran with the opportunity and had this incredible season. I do think that there is more for Trinidad to unlock. One, it's his team. There's no question about that now. People gravitate toward him, and I do think that matters. I think that the numbers, obviously they were really good last year. I think he finished 10th nationally in total offense. He did a little bit of everything. There were some, he wasn't your typical first year starter, but there were some first year starter things. It wasn't always perfect. I know that. In the Sugar Bowl, that's one of the last things that we remember of him, and that was just this incredible game. But there's also the game against South Carolina where he didn't play very well at all. And the first game against Georgia, he didn't complete a pass in the fourth quarter. It was a big reason why they dropped that one. So I do think there is room Again, when you have Lacey back there, there's just so much potential for that backfield. New receivers, I understand, but Ole Miss has been pretty good about developing receivers out of the portal these last few years. I think he's going to have all the personnel. I do think that there is more. If we're talking statistically, I think the touchdown numbers, I think he threw 22 last year. I can easily see that number being closer to 30, if things go right.
I mean, it would have been if he had played the first, two games fully, I think. So yeah, that's
And
not a
he,
hard reach
yeah,
there.
no, for sure. I think he had 30 total touchdowns was the final number last year. I think there's no reason that can't be closer to 40. I think that he's that good. He's got the keys to the car. This is a Ole Miss fans have been pretty spoiled with the quarterback play these last few years with Jackson, who just went in the first round, and if he had played more, I think would have probably been rookie of the year
That could
if
have
he
been.
hadn't been hurt. And now you've got a quarterback who is doing things they haven't really seen. So it's been quite a few years for Ole Miss fans as far as quarterback. I really do think Trinidad has a chance to do some special stuff.
What was the position battle this spring that you had the closest eye on?
Well, we didn't get to watch a bunch of practice. I'm not sure
Obviously.
if you, I watched a lot of punts. I learned a lot about punt coverage and things like that. So that was electric as always. But I think going into the off season, the big one was the receivers, because again, they lost more than 3,000 yards in receiving production this off season. DeShon Stribling, he just went. He was the first pick in the second round. He was really, really good down the stretch. Harrison Wallace was great. He had close to 1,000 yards. Daquan Wright. I mean, there's Caden Lee is at Missouri now. There's just a lot of faces that, and some of them were new faces last year. Stribling and Wallace were new, but they did a lot of lifting last year. So I think when you are replacing that much production, there's always a question. Again, Ole Miss has done a really good job historically of revamping that room, so I don't think it's going to be a problem. But that is something to look at. And then the other one, offensive tackle. They lose both tackles. Jaden Williams and Diego Pounds gave up a combined 2 sacks last year. It wasn't always perfect, but they got the job done. Trinidad Chambliss didn't have to worry a ton about the outside rush. You got all three of your interior guys back with your center and your two guards, and I think that group's going to be really good. But I think tackle is that's a big one, and Pete Golding didn't really seem to have an answer quite yet. It seems like this is going to be a battle that goes into August for how that kind of shapes up.
You mentioned it just a second ago. You said Ole Miss has reshaped its secondary through the portal. Who are the faces there to watch?
I think the big one is probably I think there's two, the safeties. Sharif Denson from Florida. He was a really good player for them last year. He was kind of their star, and I think he's gonna be a little bit more versatile in Ole Miss's defense, play a little bit more back. But again, Ole Miss's corners, that room looks great because you got Jalen Braxton and Antonio Kite, but you lost your safeties, and so I think he's gonna be a big one. And I think Edwin Joseph from Florida State, he was a pretty big one for them to get to. Again, a productive player. I think that those two safeties, I think that room has the potential to be better than it was last year because of the pure talent coming in. But we don't know what it looks like yet.
It's a different looking schedule. I just say last year Ole Miss's schedule, not the most difficult in the world. This year it does take up a notch. Golding is in an interesting situation. I kind of made the comparison for him to when Moorhead came to Mississippi State. He took over a team that looks on paper like it's built to compete for championships. What is the reaction going to be if they're 9-3 and out of the playoff?
Yeah, I mean it is going to be interesting. I think Pete has so much momentum right now because he's not the other guy, and I think that's a really big thing right now. He is a guy who's all in on Ole Miss, and let's be honest, for the last few years that was a question. We were doing this every offseason of is he going to stay or is he going to go, with Lane Kiffin. We're not doing that anymore, so I do think that the fan base has his back. But yeah, this is a tough schedule. You open SEC play against the other guy.
Yeah.
My goodness,
Are
that's
you
gonna be.
pulling this thing there? Are you doing the thing where you won't say it?
No. That team, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's
Where
gonna
we
be.
were before, I think is what he's calling him.
Our quarterback there.
Yeah.
It's gonna be an absolute disaster. I mean, that's gonna be a war zone when Lane comes down here. But I mean, that's hypothetically one of your easier SEC games because LSU is doing a rebuild too, all around. So, yeah, I mean that the schedule is tough. Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, Florida. I mean, this is a it's a murderer's row. I do think that Pete, to an extent, probably is going to get a little bit of grace because, it is his first year. That being said, all people know right now is that he's the guy that won the playoff games. So I do think that there is a raised expectation. And again, when you bring back a Heisman backfield, I think that the prevailing thought is, well, there's no reason this team should drop off.
Right.
This team should be better. So I can see them going 9-3. I can see them going 10-2. I can see them going 11-1. There are so many possibilities with this team. I can see this team being 9-3 and way better than they were last year. And that's purely the schedule and Ole Miss won close games last year. But I do think that he's going to get the benefit of the doubt for a while. But yeah, I'm curious to see what happens when they drop a few, and maybe it's a random one that they should have won. Lane had a few of those here, and that did not go over well.
No, it did not.
And so I'm curious to see what sort of support he's going to have in those moments. Ole Miss loves him. It's hard not to. He's a football guy. He's ride or die for Ole Miss. But that's easy right now, when all you've seen is, two playoff wins and a really tight loss, and saying all the right things. It's going to be interesting when it's a full schedule.
That schedule starts on Sunday, September 6th, the day before Labor Day, in Nashville with the Louisville Cardinals. But of course, we are all looking ahead to week three, September the 19th, in Oxford. Both people who are speaking on this interview will be at that game. So we're looking forward to that, I'm sure. Michael Katz, The Daily Journal, always appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, Ben.
So I've been doing these interviews, Carlo, and I asked the same question at the end. And whatever reason, he was like, can we go at 8:30 in the morning? That's just not work time for me. So it threw me off my game. But I'll ask you the question that I wrapped up every other interview with. When we get to the day after Thanksgiving, or I guess it'll be the day after Black Friday, and the Egg Bowl has been played, what are we going to be saying about Ole Miss when we get there?
That's a good question. It's really hard to tell in April, but I think as someone that also covers Ole Miss, I will say on the podcast, get that full transparency out.
We all know. We all know.
I think for them, it's getting back to the playoff with the new head coach because there's been so many changes around them. I don't want to say the season would be a failure, but you have to think Trinidad's a senior. Kiwan Lacy is going to go to the NFL. I mean, that quarterback running back deal you don't get very often in college football at all.
Right.
So
But you legitimately have two people who will be on Heisman hot list on one
I
team.
mean, Kiwan set the single season record in just about every rushing category, and Trinidad at the end of the season was playing as well as anybody. So I think if you don't get to the playoff with those two guys, knowing it's kind of going to be their last run, I think it's a little bit of a disappointment. So if the day after the Egg Bowl, if they are not in the playoff conversation, if they're not in the bubble, I think that would be a failure for them.
I agree. Yeah, they should absolutely just be in the talent level for them is too high to not be in the conversation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Might be a situation where they were like, they dropped a game they shouldn't have, and they're probably not going to get in. But at least they're around the
Be around
periphery.
the bubble.
People are saying
Yeah.
if this was a 16-team playoff or a 2014 playoff, they obviously would be in.
Yes.
I agree. I mean, they have Chambliss, who if you when you sit down to do your all SEC ballot, you're either putting Chambliss or Arch Manning
Yeah,
as your first team
I
quarterback.
agree.
you know, we picked two running backs. You're going to pick Hardy
Ahmad Hardy and
and
Kevon
Kwon
Lacy.
Lacy. That is absolutely going to happen. Deuce Alexander could be one of your first team running back. Cam Franklin and Will Eccles, they're going to be among your discussion for defensive tackles. Santarin Perkins is going to be in your discussion for your linebackers. I mean, they have.
They're too talented to waste this again.
I mean, I just gave you Chambliss. I don't know because of the height. I just don't know, but he's so productive. But I just gave you five guys that will likely be first to fourth round picks. You know, that's a great starting point before I give you anybody else. Their offensive line's what's going to be the difference for them. Like, it was really
Most
good
pressure,
last
dude.
year. They've got to replace some guys there, as Michael told us. If they can do that, they're going to be fine. If not, they could struggle a little bit. And then, obviously, the big deal is Golding. Like, I'm not. I told Michael Borky I wasn't trying to jinx him. I kind of am trying to jinx him, as you might can guess. But it reminds me a little bit of when Dan Mullen left Mississippi State and Joe Moorhead took over, and he had a team that was built to win big, and he didn't do it, and he made too many changes, and he got away from what Mullen did that worked. It doesn't appear like Golding is getting too far away from what Kiffin did. It's
No.
still his defense. Nothing's changing there. You bring in Baker to be the offensive coordinator. This is a very similar style of offense, I think. And having a veteran quarterback like Chambliss will certainly help. Having a running back like Lacy, that if all else fails, you can just hand it off to him and get 3 or 4 yards. It helps. Should be a good team. The real test for Pete Golding is next year when Chambliss and all those guys I mentioned are gone, and it's a lot more of just his team. That's when we find out what Pete Golding really is.
Yeah, and he was extremely active in the portal this year, and he took a lot of gambles that, frankly, take some people off to leave to LSU last minute. I mean, you think Princewell, Umanyemilan, him coming back to that team would have
Hold
been
up.
huge.
Hold up.
But,
Say his last name again.
oh, I know I'm right. Umanyemilan.
It's Umanyemilan.
No, it's not. I promise you it's not.
I've been saying Umanyemilan, and so
According.
is Michael Borky.
All right, well, John Sokoloff told me when I got it, because when I got the job,
You believe Sokolov?
I'll take it.
Oh, hey there, Carlo. Yeah, it's Umanyemilan.
Anyway, he leaves. You know, TJ Dottery also leaves,
Yeah.
which that's fine. But
That was okay. Yeah.
Umanyemilan, him leaving was huge deal.
Yeah.
And Golding being active in the portal was, like I said, it was risky. But they got some good guys. I mean, they got that linebacker from Clemson that had Dabo Sweeney just really, really mad. But they have another talented team coming back. And like you said, it's up to their offensive line if they're going to be successful or not. But with all the coaching changes too, you got to think Kevin Smith, their running back coach, follows Kiffin to LSU. Big ones, Charlie Weiss, offensive coordinator. That I think is going to be the biggest transition for this team.
Is losing
Not
Weiss.
that John David Baker is bad or anything. It's just you switch coordinators, the way he called the game, especially that Sugar Bowl game I was at. I mean, he called an incredible game, especially that
The game
second
plan was
half.
really good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hard to replace. I mean, the offense is one thing, but calling games another. So we're really going to get a test of that, and they're going to get tested early because they have LSU coming to town the third weekend of college football,
Yes, they
which is
do.
going to be a great game. I
But
cannot
don't
wait to go to
overlook
that.
that first game with Louisville.
No,
Louisville's a
yeah.
good football team.
Neutral site as well.
Neutral site game, there'll be a lot. I think it won't be too much of a neutral site. The Ole Miss crowd will probably dominate,
I
but
mean, Louisville's a lot closer, though.
than Oxford?
No, it's in Nashville.
Yeah. Is Louisville closer to Nashville than Oxford?
1,000%.
Louisville,
One
Kentucky.
thousand
We got to
percent.
know. Hold on. It is a 2 hour and 41.
Yeah, it's like
You're
five or six from
Oxford,
Oxford.
Mississippi to Nashville.
That's gonna be a Louisville crowd.
4 hour. Yeah, it's an hour and 20 minutes closer. Well, fine. You win this round, Carlo.
Like the wing challenge.
Yes. Oh. Okay. Okay. I see how it
You
is.
said it yesterday.
See how it is. I try to be a gentleman and just concede gracefully, but now you're gonna throw it back in my face. It's just what
We
happened the other
both
day with the
agreed. It
this is what happened the other day with the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. You're scoring with the when the game's over. I'm gonna come over there like Jokic did.
Okay. Yeah,
All right.
I think the biggest change for them will be offensive coordinator
Yeah.
coaching. But yeah, Golding's test won't be this year because they've got the players that Kiffin recruited. It'll be next when Deuce Knight's up and they have to replace the running back room, and
Yeah. A
a lot of
lot of
young
stuff.
players will be playing.
We will see. All right. Tomorrow shows the rumblings. Get your questions in. I've already got the Missouri preview set up, working on Oklahoma, working on the other ones. We'll talk. We'll have a lot of team previews this week. We got plenty of baseball to talk about, the Governor's Cup plus this Texas series. Want to get somebody in from the Longhorn perspective. on that one as well. A lot going on here on Thunder and Lightning this week. Brooks Bryan unable to join us today in case you haven't noticed. Had a work emergency pop up. He will join us later in this week to give his thoughts on what he's seen and what's to come for Mississippi State. So until tomorrow for Carlo Bro, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.